Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Two real estate pros on the line today to answer your questions. Alex Monticello of Monticello Real Estate specializes in residential sales for buyers and sellers in the Capital Region. Renata Lewis is with Keller Williams Capital District, also leads the Renata V. Lewis team. She's a go-to source for real estate industry insight and advice. If you have a real estate question, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Alex Monticello, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me back.
Nice to have you here. Renata Lewis, are you there?
I am here. Hey, Ray. Hey, Alex.
Hey.
Hey, all around. Well, as I mentioned at the top of the show, U.S. home prices surged at the fastest pace in nearly 7 years. In December, fueled by low mortgage rates, Americans are moving from the urban areas to the houses in the suburbs. S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller 20 City Home Price Index, released today, climbed 10.1% in December from a year earlier. It would seem, Renata Lewis, that this bubble is still expanding.
That's true. And, you know, a lot of people are asking, you know, what's happening? Why is there, you know, a short supply of homes? You know, it really depends on the demand, you know, supply and demand, like in any business. Right now, the supply is just at about 2 months. A normal market is about 6 months of active inventory supply. So the lack of the supply is really driving the prices and the bidding wars. You know, COVID has a little bit to do with it. I think some uncertainty as far as what's going to happen with the economy is a little bit of the uncertainty. But the homes that are going on the market are moving quickly. The buyers are solid, interest rates are low, and overall it's happening very quickly.
Yeah, you know, Alex, the interest rates, even though they're up a little bit, the 30-year fixed mortgage up a little bit this week, it's still so low, even compared to a year ago. I think it was almost 3.5% a year ago, and it's now about 2.8%.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody's talked about it, right? These are historically low mortgage rates. It seems like they can't get any lower. But it's a great time to buy, and it's an even better time to sell.
Very interesting that you say it's a better time to sell. Renata, this is a seller's market?
It definitely is, just because there are so many buyers in demand for a home right now. So, you know, this is why we're also seeing the price is being inflated, just because when a home does go on the market, there's typically more than one buyer that wants to buy it. So in that position, you know, we get into multiple offer situation. Therefore, the list price is usually inflated, and you know, then it drives the market to, you know, to have a higher market value for that area.
So it's
a challenging market for the buyers. You know, the big thing is the buyers need to be proactive. They need to be ready. They need to be solid, and they need to talk about their financing before they go out there and start looking at homes.
Now, Alex, does this change the strategy when you list a home? Are you then saying, okay, well, I better tack on 7%, 8% on the what I would ordinarily put this house on the market for, because I know there will be multiple offers?
You know, we're not – my strategy, and I'm not going to give away any secrets here, is really I try to list it for market value, what I think it's going to sell for. And the beauty of this market from a seller's point of view is when you list a house for market value – it almost always sells above market value because you're able to create a bidding war. We're seeing homes selling, you know, 5 to as much as 10% above asking price when we create these bidding wars. So it is tough. It is very tough on the buyer side because, as Renata points out, and as the data shows, right, for every one home that's on the market, there's 10 to 20 qualified buyers out there who can be competing for that one home.
That is amazing. And Renata Lewis, by the way, if you have a question on real estate, for Renata and Alex. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Now, this brings to mind this multiple offer situation, Renata. Do you put it a house on the clock? In other words, if you left it, say you get four offers, and then you say to yourself, well, if I leave it on the market another day or two, I might get three more offers. Is there a point where you say, okay, we are cutting it off now?
Well, it really depends. It's a very specific and individual thing per each listing, only because it really depends how quickly the offers come in. I don't write the offers. The agents that are working with the buyers will write the offer, and there is a time period on the offer that they have to fill out. So an offer could come in with, you know, we want to know by the end of today. So it really is strategically speaking to the sellers, you know, what are they comfortable with? How qualified are the buyers that are on the table? And in New York, when we do have more than one offer on the table, we do have to let the other agents know. And at that point, you know, whether it's we call a highest and best, we negotiate individually, whether we shut it down, it really is a discussion between all the parties. Just to figure out what is in their best interest as far as, you know, how to proceed with the offers.
Yeah, interesting phrase, highest and best. Alex Monticello, is highest offer always best offer?
No. And actually, I've worked with clients before who've taken less money for because the offer, the lower offer might have stronger financing. And, you know, certainly when you're getting price, you're getting the offers above what you're asking for. For some clients, a shorter closing or a more, you know, a more certainty of a closing is worth $5,000-$10,000. And so they may take a lower priced offer to have that certainty.
Renata, do you agree?
I do. So, you know, again, with the contract, there are terms that are also, you know, very important to look at. So, yes, you have the price, and then, you know, what terms are also in this contract or contingencies? You know, the type of mortgage, or is it a cash offer? Or do they want to do their inspections? How quickly are they possibly waiving the inspections? You know, what's the time frame of the closing? What type of bank they're using? So a lot of different factors to consider. So, yes, the best maybe as far as price, but the terms is also the highest and best. What are we factoring in as a whole, and how are we going to make that decision and or negotiate?
And why would a potential buyer waive an inspection?
So it's just so they look better. You know, if it is a competitive bid and we have 7 to 10 offers on the table, they may feel that by waiving the inspections, it's going to expedite the process. And by waiving the inspections, that contingency is removed, so there is less for something to come back to the table. And, you know, it's one less contingencies that the sellers have to be concerned about.
It's Real Estate Today with Alex Monticello and Renata Lewis. The number to call if you have a question is 800-348-2551. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll get to the phones. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. Pop on WAMC. It is Real Estate Today. Renata Lewis joins us. Alex Monticello joins us. You have a question, you can join us too. 800-348-2551 is the number. We go to Susan in Great Barrington. Susan, you're on.
Oh, hi. I own a three apartment house in Brattleboro, Vermont. And I was wondering if advertising in Boston or New York City would be helpful in selling it.
Go ahead,
yeah.
Renata.
Absolutely. You know, anytime you market a home for sale, you want to get the most buyer eyes on it. So there are people moving out of the bigger cities for various reasons. There's investors that are looking from different areas as well. So absolutely. Again, it's the time to try to maximize the dollar on the home. And the more that you expose it and the further, the more buyers hopefully come to the table.
I see. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks, Susan. 800-348-2551 is the number. Alex, this email came in from Paul. Paul writes, is the market for land, or more specifically, developable lots, also experiencing an increase?
Yes. I mean, I think it depends on the area that you're looking in. But, I mean, certainly in the capital region, if you talk to a lot of builders, they're always looking for land to build because they can't keep up with the demand. And I'm talking about building of residential homes. So a lot of the builders are backed up and they're constantly on the hunt to try to find more land. The other issue is, too, sometimes depending on the municipality, it can take several years to take a raw piece of land and get it to the point where it can be developed and they can actually start putting in utilities and roads. So that also could potentially be the delay. But yeah, I think it's a function of what we're seeing in the housing market. It's just spilling over into other assets like land.
Renata Lewis and Alex Monticello join us today. It's Real Estate on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551 if you have a question. And Renata, Barbara emailed us this question. Where is the best place to put money to update your homes? Now, we talk about this almost every time you're on. Most updates were done in the 1980s, but do not look dated. Cherry shaker cabinets, white coriander, granite island, gray slate laminate, bathroom, small neutral tile. So where's the best place to put that money to update the home?
Right. So the biggest shift I've seen in the last 3 to 4 years is that buyers are really looking and they want updated homes. So a turnkey home is important, and it's going to give you the best value, and it's going to sell the quickest. Based on what the email says, it looks like they've regularly updated throughout the years, which is great. You know, I would suggest, you know, walking into a model home, you know, maybe just updating some light fixtures, updating some, you know, cabinet, the front drawer. Can't think. What are those things called? Pools or I can't think.
That's all right.
Same part.
I think we
just like the smaller pieces as far as fixtures and maybe paint.
Yeah.
Really, if the big things have been updated, obviously, I always go back to the mechanicals, making sure that the furnace is operating, that the AC works. You know, the big ticket items are always a big one that the buyers are looking at and budgeting into their purchase.
It's Real Estate Today. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Christopher in Westfield, Massachusetts. Christopher, you're on.
Hi, you guys. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, I've got a sibling who is giving me his house. He owns it outright. I'm going to eventually split it among my three other surviving siblings. Someone told me something like a quick deed, but I've looked into that, and it doesn't seem like a great deal if you're not married. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Well, I would recommend talking to a real estate attorney in Massachusetts, and they could help you with the sale as far as the deed transfer. Here in New York, the highest quality deed, so to speak, is a warranty deed, and that's helpful and important also when you go to sell, or whoever takes over possession goes to sell the property. Best advice I can give you is probably talk to a local real estate attorney, and they can usually execute this transaction relatively easily.
All right, Christopher, thanks a lot for the call. Now, Alex, I noticed some drops in your line. This is part of the terrifying world that Zach the Engineer and I have inhabited for the last year of doing all of our shows via phone guest. And if your phone happens to drop, Alex or Renata, just call us back and we'll put you right back on the air. If you both drop, I'll play some songs and I'll go I'll go have an old fashioned across the street. John in Saugerties. John, you're on. Hello, John. Buddy.
Hello, John. Hi, I'm John. Sorry.
You're on. Go.
Hi. I was just curious. Earlier, you guys were talking about bidding wars and sort of talking about it positively. I was just wondering, like, what's the benefit to a community of bidding wars?
To a community?
Yeah, Renata, you go ahead with this one.
Yeah. So, I mean, is there a benefit? You know, the big benefit is the overall market value of all the homes in that near the home that is selling will increase, likely increase based on that sale. So, you know, overall, based on what's happening in the market, it's not that we're making this happen. It's not that it's something that, you know, we just press the button and we want this to be part of the sales. It's really just the demand is so high that the bidding wars are happening based on more than one buyer wanting to get into a home. So, you know, the benefit is market values are inflated. You probably have more equity in your home than you think at this point. And it really depends on, you know, look to see what your neighbors are selling for, see what's happening in the community, and that will give you a good idea of what the market value is. It doesn't really have anything to do with assessment unless the towns at some point reassess the assessment part of the neighborhood, which could ultimately possibly raise your taxes in the future.
So you're saying like it just sort of it's good for the seller. It ups the price across the board for people.
Correct.
Am I reading that right?
Correct. Yes. So, you know, a lot of people are refinancing their homes right now because they have a little bit more equity in their home because the value of their home has increased. So we're seeing a lot of people refinancing homes and doing improvements in their homes. Adding an addition to a home just because they are able to pull a little bit more equity out of their home based on the new market values. So it is a positive.
Right.
It is a challenge for a buyer. You know, it's just what the market is happening right now. Just like if a stock market for some reason goes up, you know, do we want to buy? Do you want to sell? Or do you already own it? And are you making a profit?
Right. So I was just wondering, like, what is the value to the community of that?
What is the value of the community?
The community is the overall market values of their homes have increased. So they are holding more equity, which is money that you own that is yours in your home.
John,
Alex,
thanks.
You want to jump in? Maybe I'm not explaining it correctly.
Go ahead, Alex, and then we'll move on.
No, I mean, I think, John, I don't know if you're getting at the issue here of if you – This economy and this recovery, right, has benefited people who've owned homes and who've owned stocks, right? And they've talked about a K-shaped recovery. And those who have owned homes and have owned stocks have benefited immensely. If you're renting and you don't own a home and home prices are appreciating, it makes it even more challenging to own a home. And we work with many buyers and we see it who are fiercely competing for homes and losing out. And it is a challenge. I think the issue of rising home prices is a pretty complicated issue, but there are certainly winners, and the winners are the people who own homes.
This email came in, and I'll throw this to you, Alex. This is from James. James says, are interest rates ever negotiable with banks, even a quarter point? Rule of thumb, when to remortgage? Are all closing costs fixed? All those questions are from James.
Yeah, so generally banks are not going to negotiate on an interest rate, and the best thing you could do is probably shop around. One of the things that may not be recognized is when you get pre-qualified for a mortgage and there's a hard pull on your credit, Consumer Board or Consumer Protection Bureau allows you 45 days, up to 45 days, to get other hard pulls on your credit for the purpose of shopping around a mortgage. So I would encourage you to talk to your local real estate agent who understands the local banks and talk to as many different banks as possible to understand what the best rates are. I will say that generally credit unions, because they're not-for-profit lending institutions, have better rates and lower closing costs. than some of the for-profit lending institutions. But unfortunately, they're not really negotiable, but you can shop around, and they vary from bank to bank.
It's Real Estate Today on Vox Pop. Alex Monticello and Renata Lewis join us to answer your questions. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. The phone number is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Dan in Burnt Hills. Dan, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Well, we're doing all right. How are you?
I was wondering, I'm fantastic, thank God. I was wondering, what are your opinions regarding Matterport virtual tours, and why do you think it is so hard for the real estate market upstate to adopt that tool as opposed to downstate?
Renata.
So, interestingly enough, I just had one done yesterday. So I have a new listing that's going to be coming up in Albany, and it's a really, really nicely updated home. So I thought I would give it a shot. Not a lot of people are doing it locally. I know there's a couple of vendors that I know of that are doing it. It just really hasn't been adopted that much. I think it might be because of the expense. It is a little bit more expensive than hiring a professional photographer just to shoot a tour and some pictures. For me, because this vendor that did it for me, he was asking a similar question. I think from the perspective of buyers that I've spoken to, it's a little bit harder to maneuver online. You have those little circles that you have to go to. If it is a big, 3,000 square foot home, 5,000 square foot home, I think it takes you a little bit longer to get through it. I think the quality is amazing. The 3D is amazing. It's an individual selection, and depending on the team and the real estate agent that you work with or you become a vendor with, typically I see them more done on a more luxury home rather than a, 300 or under home. I can't give you an answer other than I think it's price, and it's more of a on the higher end of luxury market that we're seeing it right now. But it is a great product. I do like it.
Alex, what do you think about virtual tours?
Well, we actually, so we own a Matterport camera. We license the technology. I have a full-time employee who's a licensed Matterport operator. And we've been doing it for over 2 years, and we'll do it on whether it's a $100,000 listing or $1 million listing. We do it on all of our listings because I think it's so critical. It's proven to be really important now post-COVID, and we've sold multiple homes in the last 12 months to people who never stepped inside. And I think in part that they were able to do that because we had the Matterport tour. So I think it's happening. I think Renata's right. It's a function of people maybe not wanting to make the investment. I don't see how there's any way to sell a home now in 2021 without it.
Interesting. How does it work? Critical. How is it a special camera? You said licensed camera. What is it? Stereoscopic?
Yeah.
How does it work?
So it uses infrared light. So this is a little bit out of my pay grade, but it's an expensive camera that basically rotates 360 degrees on a tripod, and the operator will go through the home every 3 to 6 feet and scan, and it creates a 360 view of the at each point. And then the technology and the software stitches together all of those scan points into a three-dimensional dollhouse of the property. And what's amazing about the camera is it uses this infrared light to create the pictures and then create floor plans. But the technology is so good that you can actually, when you're inside of Matterport, you can measure things on the photo or on the tour. So if you're, for example, I was selling a property and the buyer was in Miami, and I walked them through Zoom on my Matterport tour, and they said, well, what's the height of the ceilings? And right inside the tour in real time on Zoom, we could measure the height of the ceilings. And then they said, well, how long is that wall there? And what's the width of the window? And we could go ahead and measure that. So it's some amazing technology. The company is actually going I think they just announced they're going public, but it's really cool.
An ancillary question, of course, is why, if you live in Miami, you'd want to move up here. But that's another story at another show.
It's beautiful here, Ray, of course.
Well, not at this time of year. It's Real Estate Today with Renata Lewis and Alex Monticello. I kid, of course. I grew up here. It's wonderful. 800-348-2551. Tyler in Hyde Park. Tyler, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
If a house is being listed for over 4 months, would it be okay to put a lower a bid? And if so, how low can you go? 2%, 5%, 10%? What would be the norm?
Anybody want this
I'm
one?
I'm having a hard time. I had a hard time understanding.
All right, Tyler, try it one more time, and then Renata will give it a shot.
Okay. If a house is in the market listed for over 4 months, can you bid lower than the price that they're asking?
Oh, I see. So you're okay. A buyer in this situation. Understood.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Renata.
So, again, it depends. Has it been on the market for 4 months without any price adjustments? Then possibly, it depends on the seller's motivation. They may want that purchase price. They want that number, and they're going to hold off until they get it. If the price of the house was just recently reduced a little bit and it's been on the market for 4 months, don't be surprised that it might go into a multiple offer situation again. It really depends on the area. It depends on, how many price adjustments it has had, and it depends on what the seller is expecting to get for that house. Some houses are a little bit more unique. They take a little bit longer to sell, but ultimately they sell fairly close list price to sales price ratio on average. So there really isn't hey, let's reduce it 10% just because it's been on the market for 4 months. So there's no formula like that. It really is getting your agent to speak to the listing agent, find out exactly what the seller's motivation is, why it hasn't sold, and then base your offer on, other comparable sales in that area and present it and see if you can negotiate.
Alex, you want to weigh in on this before the break?
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I think if you're the buyer, it doesn't hurt to have your agent reach out to the listing agent and get a feel for how flexible the seller might be in price. Certainly if it's been on the market for 4 months, I would believe that they would have some motivation here to entertain a lower offer.
It is Real Estate Today on Vox Pop, and there's still more to come. If you have a question for Renata Lewis or Alex Monticello, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be right back. Sonny Rollins. I drift away listening to that. I forgot I was doing a show. It's a Vox Pop. It's the real estate program with Renata Lewis and Alex Monticello. If you have a question for either one of those two or both, give us a call at 800-348-2551. John is in Kingston. John, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, really a comment, not a question. All right. We had no interest in selling our house, so we sold what a neighbor's house sold for.
Yeah.
So we listed it actually for $35,000 more than the agent suggested, and we sold it in a week for double what we paid for it 5 years ago.
Wow. Now, over 5 years, that's not considered flipping, right, Alex?
Well, if it's your primary residence, actually somebody was just asking about this. I think if it's your primary residence and your capital gains is less than, like, I think it's $500,000. You wouldn't pay any tax on it anyways.
Ah, okay.
So,
all right.
So yeah, congratulations. That's a great sale. Now, did you find a house to move to? That's always the challenge.
We did, but we literally only had one option that we liked. Everything needed like $100,000 worth of work. And we found one that we could settle for. So not really settle. I mean, it was were happy with it, but there were very few out there for us to pick from.
You know, this is a problem with the low inventory. Is there's a lot of folks like that are in your position that would like to sell, but they can't find what they want to move to,
yeah.
Or that competition is just as fierce. So it's preventing people from making the move.
All right, John, thanks a lot for the call. Renata, you want to comment?
No.
Okay.
It's exactly what he said. It's the challenge is having the conversations with sellers that really want to move. It's just a matter of what is the plan B? Where are we going to go? Are we going to rent? Do you have a place to stay, whether it's with family, until we find a home of your choice? So it is a challenging medium to find, and it's a matter of it's taken a little bit longer for us to work with the sellers and figure out where they're going to go, what they're going to do. So again, that low inventory is a cause of all of this put together.
Now, would it annoy you, Renata, if say John? You represented him at one point, and then maybe there was no contract, and then he said, "Oh, I'm going to list this for $35,000 more than Renata said." So, would you find that annoying?
I wouldn't say annoying. I would hope that he would call and say, "Hey, I think I want to list it for $35,000. You know,
yeah.
Why were you so much lower?" So
yeah.
We could obviously revisit the market, and you know, I think everybody has to understand that the market does change on a daily basis. So. You know, he even mentioned that his neighbor sold and, you know, they ended up pricing it a lot higher. You know, maybe the house was a lot more updated or bigger, whatever
yeah.
the circumstance.
Hmm.
So just because we're talking about numbers today, if we're sitting down today, doesn't mean that those numbers won't change a week from now or even tomorrow when your neighbor ends up listing very, very high or for some reason is in hardship and lists a little bit lower. So market is very volatile. We watch it every day and we really pay attention to what it's telling us. And, you know, obviously the goal is to try to push the numbers with a happy medium for sure.
It's Real Estate Today with Renata Lewis and Alex Monticello. The number is 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Rachel is in Lee, Massachusetts. Hiya, Rachel. You're on.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Quick question about attic renovations. I have a 2-bedroom, 1-bath ranch house, and I'm toying with the idea of, you know, doing another bedroom, bathroom in the attic. What's the return on that, generally speaking? Is that a good idea?
Alex.
How much you'd be adding square footage, right? That's currently
yeah.
not finished? Yeah.
No,
so
it's not finished.
Yeah, so that's one of the best returns and investments you can make because you're going to be adding livable space and square footage. And it's
okay.
probably most cost effective, right, to finish an attic because you don't have the additional costs of foundation and trusses and all those. Do you currently have steps that are leading up to the attic?
I do, and they're fairly wide, too.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's very smart. That's a great investment to finish space that you can – kind of easily retrofit is would definitely add value. And you could just look at homes and the price per square foot that they're selling for in the area to get a rough idea of what that would add in terms of value.
All right, great. Thank you very much.
All right, Rachel, enjoy the attic. Let's go to Marie in South Hadley. Marie, you're on.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
We own a 2-story home and we'd like to move to a single level home. We have not been able to find yet what we're looking for. And when we looked into building, we found that building materials have also skyrocketed in price. So the question is while we're still in this house, the one drawback to our home is our kitchen that desperately needs to be updated.
Mm.
And pretty much the whole rest of the house is in good shape and updated both bathrooms. So do we go ahead and put in a new kitchen knowing that we might be here only for another year, or do we keep the value of our home a little bit lower so that we'll attract more people?
Yeah, you know, Renata, this is one, again, we talk about this a lot, but it's a very
yeah.
important point.
Yeah, it is. So since you're going to be moving within a year, say within 1 to 3 years, you know, any improvements to the kitchen will help with the value. So instead of maybe redoing the entire kitchen as far as a huge overhaul and, you know, ripping everything out, maybe painting or resurfacing the doors of the kitchen cabinets or painting them a different color. You know, the biggest idea that I usually give my sellers is, you know, how old are the appliances? Maybe buying a nice appliance package that will update the look of the kitchen. Maybe a, you know, backsplash. Just a few things that could potentially update the kitchen so it looks a little bit more modern without spending $50,000 plus in a complete kitchen overhaul because you're going to be selling. Now, again, sitting down with an agent that could give you some options and some quotes as far as, hey, if we do a complete overhaul of the kitchen, what the house will be worth versus just a smaller update or a middle-of-the-line update of the kitchen, that would be helpful as well, just so you know in comparison of what the difference is and how you're going to compare with others in your particular and immediate area as far as value.
Marie.
Okay. All right.
And kitchen and bath well. So I would say kitchen, you can't get hurt.
Okay. All right. That's the way I feel. I think a kitchen often sells the home. And it is the first room that you enter if you come in from the side door. And so, yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask you one more question?
Certainly.
If we did just paint our cabinet, I know the neighborhood that we live in is pretty much, you know, granite countertops and oak floors and that kind of thing. But I would hate to spend the money to put in granite countertops on old counters. What do you think about Formica? You know, the granite look-alike Formicas.
Right. I mean, there's some really nice Formicas out there right now that sometimes I have to tap with my fingernails to see if it is Formica or real granite. You know, I would also price them out because granite and other forms of solid surface tops have come down in price. Again, materials have skyrocketed right now because people are doing a lot of updates. You know, find out what the difference is and see, you know, what you can do. Again, just small, some of these small updates will make the kitchen look better, will give you more value. But if you are going to invest the money into doing something, because you're not doing a whole overhaul, maybe the cost of granite would be worth it because you have a really nice solid surface that people do like and it's very well received, and they won't really look at the fact that the counters may have been painted. I mean, the kitchen cabinets have been painted. So, again, I think just addressing, you know, what your neighborhood is like and how you're going to compare and what works best. And how much work you want to do as well.
All right, Marie, thank you very much for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551 if you have a real estate question for Renata Lewis and Alex Monticello. And we mentioned at the start of the show that home prices surged in December. Really, really fast pace, fastest in seven years. However, the Commerce Department reported last week that home construction fell 6% in January. There was a 12.2% drop in construction of single-family homes, Alex. What do we make of that?
The fact that construction fell?
Yeah, a lot.
You know, I'm not sure because I know the builders in our area are backed up. They're typically, you know, somewhere a builder could complete a project in 6 to 8 months. They're now 8 to 12 months because of the demand. I'm not sure if it was a function of rising prices. Maybe they just pulled back momentarily to see if prices would come back down. As the previous caller mentioned, you know, the cost of lumber has gone up significantly over the last 12 months. So I'm not sure, but I think we're seeing pretty strong demand, at least in the capital region, even with new construction.
Renata, you know, we've seen these prices go up, and as we mentioned, it's very much a seller's market. You and Alex have both been in this game for quite a while. Does it make you a little nervous? Do you suspect that at some point what goes up must come down?
You know, it's a question that we talk about a lot, and, you know, the big difference between what's happening now and, say, you know, 10, 12 years ago when the bubble burst and people did go into foreclosure and short sales
Right now, people have more equity in their home, and because the prices have inflated, the equity in their home has also increased. And so the difference is really that, and I don't believe people have been using their equity as a debit card, spending it on boats and vacations and various things because we were caught a lot based on the last bubble crash that we had. So overall, even if the prices come down a little bit, I don't foresee us getting hurt. Right now, it is almost a perfect storm based on, you know, yes, the prices may be a little bit higher, but your interest rates are so low, money so cheap to borrow, that it's really not costing you that much more to buy that house. And in fact, it may actually cost you a lot less to buy that house if you do hold on to it for 30 years. So I think we're in good shape, guys. I think it's you know, we're going to see some balance, you know, happening probably within the next year or two. But right now, the demand is still high. We're still very short on inventory, and it's going to take some time for us to catch up.
Now, wait a minute.
But I don't foresee anything that's going to really hurt us.
I can use my home equity as a debit card and buy a boat? Why didn't you tell me this like 10 years
ago? I know. Well, this is what we were seeing 10 years ago because the market went up so high so quickly. You know, this has been going on for about 3 years, 3.5 years right now, that the demand has increased every year so much. And the prices have inflated, and they are at the highest that we've seen them. I think people are doing the right thing. And with the pandemic, people don't have, you know, anywhere to go and to spend their money right now. So it's actually a good thing.
That's all well and good. But you take the next call. I'm going to Google new boats. Heather in Plattekill. Heather, you're on.
I'm coming.
Hello. Heather.
Hi, everyone.
You're on.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
I work in the architectural industry, and I have for a long, long time, and I just wanted to comment. One of your listeners had said that she was thinking of finishing off her attic space as additional living space.
Yeah.
And I would caution your listeners against doing that without checking with their local building code. This can lead to the house being seen as three stories, and they may have to add sprinklers, which can be incredibly costly for that kind of renovation.
Well, you make a great point. Alex.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. You should always, whenever you're remodeling your home, you should always talk to your local building department, pull a permit. And, you know, if you're working with a qualified contractor, they would probably advise the same.
It's Real Estate Today on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. Renata Lewis from Keller Williams Capital District and Alex Monticello of Monticello Real Estate join us. Cindy is in Westfield. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me okay?
Sure thing. Go ahead.
Great. Thanks so much. Our family was incredibly lucky to buy an outdated house that we've just put a lot of money into. It's going to be a real gem, and I like to build for the future. The upstairs is almost really an attic, and I'd like to build out the living space to include a dormer bathroom.
Ooh.
What's the return on investment for that kind of renovation?
Okay, who wants this one?
Well, as the previous caller just mentioned, right, it's good to make sure to check with your local municipality regarding finishing the attic. While we were talking, there are some various building associations have put out a cost to value return on projects. Would this be a full bathroom or a half bathroom?
I'd like to do a shower stall, a sink, and a toilet.
Okay, so we would call it a full bathroom. You know, it looks like a lot of builders they're projecting like a 60% return. So on the cost of a new bathroom. I don't know if that helps you, but approximately about a 60% return.
Now that's interesting. How do you come up with that 60%? Is that 60% in 5 years or 60% immediately?
You know, that would be 60% immediately, right? These builders have put a cost to value together, and they say if you're doing a major kitchen remodel, you'll get in the Albany Capital Region, you'll get about 40% return on that. If it's a major bathroom, if it's a bathroom addition, it could be, you know, up to 60% return. I mean, they're guesses, right?
Yeah.
But that's about all we have to go on.
Renata, you agree?
I do. And I think everyone has to just also be mindful of the materials that they buy, because, you know, we all have dreams and we want to do a kitchen or a bathroom. And then when you start pricing out various materials, or you upgrade to something that you like a little bit better, that's more fun, or just something that you really wanted, it could get a lot more pricier, so the budget can exceed what you want to spend.
Yeah.
And that obviously will bring that, you know, ratio down a little bit based on what you're purchasing and what you're doing. And I think it's also important to try to keep it a little bit more neutral. You know, I've had some clients that...
Why are you laughing, Cindy?
You know,
thank you so much for your salient comment. My son, who is literally buying this house for me, requires that we do a neutral gray on all walls.
Yeah, right ahead. There you go. There you go.
There you go.
So painting on walls is one thing, but putting in a very expensive Brazilian tile that was imported from Italy or wherever, you know, and it's pink, may not appeal to a lot of buyers, even though it's very, very expensive. So just being mindful of that, I think, is really important as well.
Well, the good news is, of course, while you took those last two calls, I found the perfect boat. So this is going to be really good. I'm going to cash out that equity. Hey, Renata Lewis, thank you for being here. How do people find you on the World Wide Web?
Just Google either Renata Lewis or at renatashomes.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Alex Monticello, how do we find you?
Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Renata. You can find us at MonticelloNYS.com.
Well, great having you both here, and we will talk to you soon. One of these years, we'll have you back in the studio and won't have to worry about the phone lines dropping. But well done, both. Support comes from College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, for over 30 years, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair, 24-hour towing, full-service gas, includes checking of fluids, tire pressure, and window washing, collegestreetmotors.com. Interactive Media Consulting, a team of online market strategists providing websites, branding, and digital marketing to the Capital Region and beyond since 1996, imediaconsult.com. Veterinary Hospital of Laurel and Brown, Turner's Falls, Massachusetts, providing compassionate care for dogs and cats in their larger hospital, drlaurelandbrown.com. And the Tang Teaching Museum at Art Gallery at Skidmore College, supporting their community with a temporary closure and continuing to explore art and ideas online. For projects and resources, skidmore.edu/Tang. Once again, thanks to Alex Monticello and Renata Lewis for being here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for calling. Thank you for emailing. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who draws a paycheck to be here. Otherwise, I think, frankly, he'd be out the door. Thanks to Jordan Yuxall, who volunteered to take the calls. Our producer's Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, yeah, buddy, it's the gardening show. And that's at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Right now, stand by for the book show.